Hello, everybody. It is Saturday, July 9th, 2022, and here we are once again on a Saturday with me welcoming you to another episode of the Ordinary Podcast, Polynerdic.com's weekly nerd-centric life and culture podcast for adults. As always, I am your ordinary nerdy host Shad, and if it sounds like I'm talking softer than normal, it is because I do have two sleeping children in the other room, and it is a quarter till six in the morning, and I don't want to wake them up yet. So bear with me as we get through this. I did not have a lot of time to prep a full episode write-up, so a lot of this is just gonna come off the top of my head, but you know, I like to start every week with what I have been doing in the last week since we recorded the previous episode. And I will say, since last weekend was a holiday weekend here in the United States, a terribly misnamed holiday given what's going on, I did have a 3-day weekend, which means I streamed quite a bit. Obviously some Elden Ring. I did, you know, three installments of Elden Ring, I think two of which I've put up on YouTube at this point, and part of the Elden Ring playlist. I started and completed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge game. That game is phenomenal. If you like old school arcade beat 'em ups like I grew up with, or the Ninja Turtles from the late 80s, early 90s. Really the sweet spot of that animated series, in my opinion, being the old man that I am. Definitely check it out, especially if you have Game Pass. It being on Game Pass was amazing. I did get Game Pass for a couple months because of the $1 3-month sale they had going on. And I loved it. Put it up on YouTube already. You can see the entirety of that game there. Obviously, I play a little Animal Crossing like I always do when I have a weekend to stream. Trek to Yomi, mostly side-scroller. It's kind of like a 2.5D samurai game. All in black and white. Has major Kurosawa vibes. I did a live playtest of it. I have not put that up on YouTube yet, but it is on our Twitch. Really enjoyed that game. And then Disc Room. We played Disc Room for a little while. That was an interesting... I don't know if you want to call it a survival, because it's not survival in the sense that you gather resources. It's almost like a time trial sort of puzzle game where you are in a room. And sometimes it's combative where you have to collect these items to cause damage, but most of the time it's you're just in a room and there's a bunch of discs flying around that want to cut you into pieces and you have to avoid them. And it's like survive 20 seconds, survive 50 seconds, survive 45 seconds. And it gives you like the developer's best time and your time as well. It's a really addicting game. I've played it a couple times since we recorded the video of it. Unfortunately, that video did get cut short because I needed to help my neighbor with a thing right at the end of, around the time I was about to wrap it up, there was a knock on my door, so I had to stop what I was doing and go help my new neighbor with their TV set up, and I'm kind of like the IT guy in the apartment, apparently. So the Disc Room game just kind of ends abruptly, but you get a good, like, 30, 40 minutes of video prior to that. And then I also did three demos on the Nintendo Switch. I did Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which was really cool. I really want to play it, but I also don't want to spend $60 on it. I did Silt and Card Shark. Silt and Card Shark are not Nintendo exclusives. I just happened to do them on the Switch, so I collectively called the video Nintendo Demos. But that's not to say that all of the games are exclusive to Nintendo. As I said, I have my kids this week. So last night, instead of watching the finale of The Boys, season three, I played a round of Mario Golf because my kids like playing Mario Golf with me. I won this time. We played on one of the more regular golf courses in that game because I was explaining to them last night that there's two courses on the game that are just straight golf, and then the rest of them have hazards, hazards and environmental conditions that make it a little different than a regular golf game. So in a straight up golf match, I won. So that's basically been my week. I watched a little bit of the newest episode of Critical Role. I watched a little bit of some older episodes of the Black Dice Society. And, oh, there's another real play. LA by Night. I've been working my way through it again because I really, 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 really want to learn to play Vampire the Masquerade. But it is not a game I can play with my kids. And because I don't have a friend group that is, here locally and ready. Excuse me, I gotta blow my nose. Again, I don't know what it is. I've been fine all morning. But the moment I sit down and start talking, it's like this microphone makes my nose run. So I've been listening to that again. I've been listening to LA by Night. And I also started to watch New York by Night, but also fell asleep doing that. So that's something else I need to, because New York by Night just started. It's brand new. And I watched this week's episode of Four-Sided Dive. Critical Role's monthly recap show and question and answer show. This week's episode was, this month's episode was Ashley Johnson, Marisha Ray, Laura Bailey, and Abria Iyengar. And if there's ever been a group of four women together that I just wanted to hang out with, it's those four. I adore all four of those women, and their episode was really good. But that's basically been my week. I worked really hard this week. I did find out in midday yesterday, Friday, that I will be work from home starting next week. So that's fantastic. After 6 months of working in an office and being miserable, I now get to resume work from home, which will be good for me. Because I have just been at my wit's end with anxiety for 6 months now, because I just don't like the office environment at all. I don't like cubicles. I don't like the openness of it where you can hear everybody's conversations and phone calls. To the point that it makes it really hard. Like, I already have difficulty making phone calls to payers and patients. But being in an open air environment where everyone can hear your conversation, makes me extra stressed. So it honestly limited the amount of phone calls I would make at a given time because I just didn't want people to hear me talking to anybody ever. So now 4 days a week, I will be at home again. While this apartment is not my favorite place in the world, it is still my home and I am more comfortable here than anywhere else. With the exception of, realistically speaking, Chelsea's apartment. I'm more comfortable there than I am here. But that's in the past now. I do have some unboxings planned in the coming weeks. Full disclosure, I could not justify $155 on the brick of Fizzband Treasury of Dragons minis. I will gladly buy them if someone wants to donate $155 to sponsor that video. As I've said in the past, you can go to my Ko-fi, whatever the hell it's supposed to, I think it's supposed to be pronounced coffee, to be honest. You can go there and you can drop funds into that goal. And once I have $155, $170, whatever, in there, I will buy the brick and do a sponsored, and I will literally call it a sponsored thing. Like, you just put your name on it and I'll say, hey, this is sponsored by this person. Unboxing of that. Instead, I bought three of just the regular boosters, and we'll do an unboxing of that. And I also have something special coming to go with that. But I don't want to be like, this is what it is until it's here. Because, you know, shipping issues happen. So that's probably going to come next week sometime once all the stuff's here. I did sell most of my library this week. I was contemplating it after I sold everything off, that this is the second time I've sold books out of my library. I was once very proud of my library. In fact, I was once told that my extensive personal library was one of the things that caught the attention of a former partner. They loved the fact that I was such an avid reader, and had such an extensive collection of books and graphic novels and stuff. I used to have three bookshelves that were absolutely full of books, and I just had stacks of books and boxes of books in addition to those three bookshelves. I am now honestly down to, I have two bookshelves in this apartment, and they have a mix of books and board games and movies and stuff on them. If I had limited it strictly to books, I would have less than a bookshelf of books. That pains me to say, because I always loved, my whole life I've wanted a library. Growing up, I had a friend whose parents, in his house, they had a room that was a reading room. And two or three of the walls had built-in bookshelves. And they were full of books. And then they had these real cozy chairs to sit in and read. It was just a reading room. And I've always wanted that. I've never had a house to be able to do that with. But I've always aspired, at every apartment I've lived in, to have ample amount of reading material. Even if it's stuff I've already read and will never reread, they were always like trophies to me. It's like, this is the stuff I finished. I did these. You know, that kind of thing. Sadly, I pared a lot of that down over the last year. And I think the last of what I'm going to get rid of went out the door this week. But I did use some of that money to my advantage. And, you know, we ate out for the first time in a couple months, really, with the kids last night. I mean, by eat out, I mean I went through a drive-thru and got them fast food. But, like, we haven't been able to do that in a while. And then I used that money to buy the stuff for the unboxing. But then in addition to that, there was a sale going, so I bought some minis that I'd been looking at for a while to paint for future games. Because that is still one of my favorite things in the world to do. I still got to finish that Tiamat that I got for Christmas. That's basically been my week. I think that sums it up really well, as everything that I got myself into this past week. News-wise, Thor Love and Thunder debuted last night, Friday night. Obviously haven't seen it. Very much looking forward to going seeing it. I have 2 weeks to see it before the boy tries to talk to me about it, because apparently they're going to see it on Tuesday. That is one thing. With my new work hours, or with my new work situation, I get off a little earlier, a whole hour earlier, so that gives me an extra hour to do things in the afternoon, one of which would be go to the movies. So I might do that next week by myself, I think. We'll see. Clerks Clerks 3. A trailer for Clerks 3 dropped this week. I've known it's been coming for a while. But, you know, with Hollywood stuff, I always try to temper my expectations because I remember several years back, it got out that Kevin Smith was writing a sequel to Mallrats. And I was very excited for it. And then it never happened. I think it kind of became Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. Like that project came instead of Mallrats 2. I would have really loved Mallrats 2 to have been a thing. But Jay and Silent Bob Reboot was great for what it was. Good nostalgic trip. A lot of people give Kevin Smith shit for it. But I like how his storytelling has evolved based on his life. Like, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot was about being a dad, ultimately. It was about getting older and being a dad and what that does to you. And I personally loved it. And this next one, Clerks 3, appears to be about, you know, his heart attack. You know, it wasn't that long ago. Kevin Smith could have just completely and totally dropped dead. He survived a heart attack that not many people survive. I think he referred to it. I recall him writing that the doctor referred to it as a widowmaker. Like, it's a kind of heart attack that, like, some insanely high percentage of people don't survive. And Noel Smith's turned his life around. Like, if you've been watching his progression, he's lost a ton of weight. He's vegan. He's living a completely different life now. And that seems to be what Clerks 3 is about. It's about Randall having a heart attack and realizing that, like, he's on borrowed time and that he needs to do something other than just be a store clerk. So it's about him making a movie about being a store clerk. So it's ostensibly a really meta take on Clerks. The clerks from Clerks are making Clerks. Even down to in the trailer, it talks about the original ending of Clerks where Dante gets killed. How that, you know, that was, if you watch the Clerks anniversary or any sort of director's cut version, you know that that scene was removed in favor of what was eventually put in. Which is cool because if it hadn't been removed, Dante wouldn't be there right now for Clerks 2 and 3. But anyway, it's just a really meta sort of take on Kevin Smith's life. And it also speaks to me as someone who has been their entire adult life doing the capitalism grind of, like, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this to make a living. Like, I literally had a conversation with my boss yesterday in the lead up to being told I get to go work from home, that they asked how I felt about the job, and if I was okay. And I was like, well, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I love what we do. Like, I have no passion for this. It doesn't light up fire under my butt. I want to write. I want to create. I want to do creative things, but I cannot earn a living there. So to that end, I want this job because it is a really good job in a world where there is not a lot of good jobs. Like, I may not like working insurance claims and fighting Anthem and the things I do, but I'm well compensated and I have good insurance. And that's all you can ask for, really. Like in a world where you're not likely to do a thing that is passionate to you, or a thing that you are passionate about, I should say, having a good job is the best you can hope for, and that's what I have. And, you know, and then we talked about my various neurodivergences and disabilities and whatnot, and how that affects work, and why it's a good move for me to go work from home. Because they even said they feel I will do my best work from here versus in the office every day where I'm freaking out. The old podcast allergies, I guess. Fine all morning until I sit down and start talking. So Clerks 3, that trailer dropped. I love it. Speaking of trailers, we also got a Thor Ragnarok little mini trailer. Thor Ragnarok, not Thor Ragnarok, God of War Ragnarok. Mini trailer. I was admittedly disappointed with the trailer when I sat down to watch it, because it's only like 30 seconds, and it's really just an announcement. November 9th of this year, Ragnarok comes out. I know I won't have a PlayStation 5 by then, but I'm hoping Chelsea has a PlayStation 5 by then, and she'll let me buy on the cheap her PlayStation 4. So that's my hopes, is that's how that'll work out. Obviously, no guarantees that that'll be the case, but one can hope, right? I'm excited to eventually play that, just like I eventually want to play Horizon Forbidden West. I really, just excited about the stuff that's coming down. Even the stuff that I can't play, I still am super excited about it. Give me a second while I double check the news stuff, because like I said, I never got a chance to really write a news story. A bunch of new indies are coming to the PlayStation. Let's see what they are. Cult of the Lamb is coming to PlayStation. We already knew that. Inscription. Sea of Stars. The Tomorrow Children. Shim. Cursed to Golf. Signalis are all coming to the PlayStation in coming months. That's fantastic. I love me some good indie games. If you've been listening to me for a while, you no doubt remember back when I worked night shift security, I had a member of my staff that he only played AAA games, and he staunchly felt that indie games are garbage. And I was like, dude, you are missing out on so many good games. Because at the time, like, Dead Cells was freshly out. And, like if you only play the big indie, or the big AAA titles, you miss out on so many good stuff. Like, so much good stuff. You know, there have been years where, like, my top 10 games of the year were almost entirely indie games. Stardew Valley is one of my all-time favorite games. That's not a big AAA game. But he was adamant, this is how I feel. So I always love good indie games. Let's see, Forspoken, I do believe that's the game that Gary Whitta worked on, amongst others. The one that's like a fish out of water fantasy romp, as Game Informer calls it. It has been delayed to 2023. I've said it every time we have a delay story. I am all for delays. Delay a game until it is ready to come out. I don't want to see any more Cyberpunk 2077 situations where games are not delayed enough and there's a bunch of crunch and it comes out and it's a broken mess. Let's see, Skull and Bones finally got a release date. It comes out, I think, November 8th. The long-delayed pirate multiplayer game. I really have hopes for that. I really want it to be a good game. I probably won't play it, but I want it to be a good game. Now, it being an Ubisoft game, it's probably going to be chock full of a bunch of microtransaction bullshit. Here's hoping it ends up being an alright game. I like piratey stuff. There's a Ragnarok Collector's Edition. Sony's getting on the fancy edition train here. Let's take a look at this story. I love that one of them comes with a fucking Thor's hammer, man. Yeah, the Collector's Edition. It's got God of War on PlayStation 4 and 5. Kratos Darkdale Armor. Darkdale Blade Handles. Darkdale Axe Grip. Atreus Darkdale Attire. the soundtracks, Dark Horse Digital Mini Art Book, God of War Ragnarok Avatar Set, and God of War Ragnarok PS4 theme. And those are all the digital goods for it. And then the physical goods are the Knowledge Keeper's Shrine Box, a Dwarven Dice Set, a 2-inch Veneer Twins Carving. I see those. A Steelbook, and a 16-inch Mjolnir Replica. And the Jotnar Edition has all of that stuff. But it has a 7-inch God of War vinyl record. And a Yggdrasil cloth map. And a ring. It comes with a ring. A Falcon Bear and Wolfpin set as well. Which are just little... I don't know if they're enamel or metal. Just standard size pins. And the dice set looks different that comes with it. Oh, and the Knowledge Keeper's Shrine Box has additional secret compartments in the Jotnar edition compared to the regular edition. Does it have the prices? I don't see prices listed in this story. The other bit of big news that is nerd-centric, not necessarily great news by any escape of the imagination, GameStop laid a bunch of people off again, and all reports and actions from various Game Informer staff on Twitter point to that Game Informer was affected as well again. Remember, about a year ago, a bunch of Game Informer staff lost their job. I have not seen any sort of confirmation, though, as to who got the axe this time. Yeah, they just tweeted 13 hours ago, "It's been a long week, so we're doing an impromptu Fall Guy stream." That's on the official Game Informer Twitter. So I don't know who may have lost their job this time. I will be completely honest that I haven't followed Game Informer since I think the last big axing of people, because like already a lot of the personalities I really adored had left. You can go all the way back to when Dan Reichert and Jason A. Stryker left to go to Giant Bomb. I lost a lot of interest in their product at that point. So it still breaks my heart, though, that like there's been a lot of really talented people come through Game Informer's doors, and most of them appear to have found work elsewhere, but I just really hate corporate nonsense, especially since GameStop's doubling down on the NFT stuff. Like, we're watching the NFT market collapse, and GameStop's like, yep, this is where it's at. This is what we're going to invest in. So, best of luck to the people that lost their jobs at Game Informer and GameStop in general. It's just a raw deal. And tabletop news, we talked a couple weeks ago about the Jameson Stone Sateen Phoenix debacle, where they were outed with a bunch of people alleging abusive practices, wielding their positions in the tabletop industry like a cudgel, underpaying people, delaying payments on people, just being generally abusive and shitty. And quite a few people whose opinions I respect, Jennifer Kirshner and B-Dave Walters, amongst others, talked about their firsthand experience or secondhand where they witnessed wrongdoing. And I obviously am a nobody. I barely have my toes in tabletop content creation, although I am working on it, as I said, with like the aforementioned upcoming unboxings. I want to be a D&D content creator, and I don't want to step on toes by talking about drama in the space, but it does seem really apparent that they're, especially since a lot of these people that were making allegations had receipts. They actually had pictures of conversations, text conversations. Jameson stepped aside from Apophis, however you pronounce it, their studio that they run that publishes D&D stuff, specifically stuff that's based on the Sirens, Satine's setting, which looked really cool, by the way. I was like super into their setting concept. Couldn't afford to back their Kickstarter, but like was really interested in the whole Sirens concept. He stepped away briefly as head of the studio, and then amongst the world burning going on with Roe v. Wade and all that, they quietly put him back on the website as a lead of the company. They announced this week that they are scaling down, and they're just going to sell some books, and they're not refunding people on the Kickstarter, which is part of Kickstarter's platform. It does say that if you back a thing and it gets funded, and then something happens to the project, you're not guaranteed your money back. So they're holding onto the money. They're going to put out the book. The book says it's there. They said the book's going to be a little bit late. But the thing that has been memed to death this week is the we investigated ourselves and found no wrongdoing. So there have been a ton of memes of Thanos and Homelander and other fictional bad guys investigating themselves and finding no wrongdoing in what they did. The fact that they went so far as to call the allegations factually inaccurate when people have posted receipts of the exchanges is humorous to me in a very sad sort of way. I'm just super disappointed because, as I said a couple weeks ago, while I never got a good vibe from Jameson, he always kind of rubbed me wrong just a little bit in the things I saw. I dug Satine. She seemed really cool and was high on the list of people that I hope to work with one day. And now I'm glad I never even set foot in those, in that world, you know? I did not make my mark in a way that would have put me in a position that I potentially could have been one of these people that were abused, you know? I'm disappointed, and just kind of generally like I think disappointed is the best way I could describe it, because it's like you want people to be better than that, right? Like, trying to see what B. Dave said. Oh, they called it cancel culture, which in itself is fucking hilarious. Let's see. I gotta find what B-Dave said about it, because he said something that was like, okay, that's it, yeah. Do-do-do. Where is it, B-Dave? Where did you say the thing? Mika Burton turned 28. Happy birthday to Mika Burton. Going through his timeline, retweeting stuff. That's not what I'm looking for. Where is it? I know this is making for fantastic, fantastic radio, right? Anyway, he talked about it in that, like, he called it the bare minimum in a very sarcastic kind of way, that they, you know, their self-investigation and whatnot. I don't want to put words in B. Dave's mouth, though. Let me find it. Where is it at? Oh, yeah. He says, I'm surprised it took this long to do the absolute minimum. Yeah, Apothesis. Dicebreaker.com has the article I saw. Let's see. Apothesis plans to finish existing Kickstarter projects, but will not be honoring refunds. The studio that will then enter a reduced capacity stasis following numerous allegations against Stone for emotional abuse, manipulation, and failure to pay contracted workers. This is from Jameson Stone directly. As it stands, and I don't know what the future will hold, it's just a company that is there. It just exists and sells books. Some of my books, some books by other people. It will sell the Red Opera and eventually Sirens. All of the people who are there are just contracted at this point. He clarifies that he was never removed from the company, but instead stepped down and took personal time, and it was like a week or two. While Apothesis conducted an internal investigation, these claims surfaced throughout the first weeks of June and ranged from verbal abuse over misunderstandings to a pattern of manipulative behavior and leveraging his status within the tabletop industry as a cudgel. Freelance writers and artists have alleged Stone and Apothesis failed to pay them on time, sometimes upwards of 8 months after the work was completed, and then used contracts and legal language to silence any dissent. Stone's wife, Satine Phoenix, was also the center of her own allegations, which include culpability in his actions. Back to Stone. The rest of the team has now completed those investigations and found that while some of the individuals had legitimate complaints, the vast majority of the allegations to date leveled against Jameson and others on our team have proven to be factually inaccurate. We believe that people should be shown compassion and given the opportunity to right their wrongs and grow as individuals. Basically turning it back on the people that made allegations. Sirens, Battle of the Bard. That is the book that I was interested in. It's been delayed, and it's now going to be more delayed while those who are still working on the project deal with the ramifications of cancel culture and how and what effect cancel culture has had upon their lives. We will be sending out merchandise that we already have in hand for U.S. backers while we are finishing the project. Refunds will not be issued. I just love that he made it not about his actions. He made it a cancel culture thing. Because if anyone knows anything, cancel culture is not real. At best, it's accountability culture. And typically, it's not even that. It's you get your hand whapped with a ruler, and then you get to continue on, oftentimes bigger than you were before you were quote-unquote canceled. I mean, at this point, would it be shocking if Jameson was outed to be a Trumper, considering that use of language? I'm almost surprised he didn't talk about people being too woke. I still have hopes that I will get to make a mark as a D&D creator, a tabletop creator, as well as the other sorts of content I make. But it just, once again, it's another, yet another controversy that has come up in the last year and a half, where it makes me very wary of most of the people that are big in the space. You know, like, so often, and I say big in quotes because some of the people are only big within the context of like D&D Twitter or D&D TikTok. But there's some creators out there I would love to work with. I would love to play with. I would love to be at a table with like B. Dave Walters and Becca Scott and Hello Operator from TikTok and Brill from the Dumpstat podcast and anybody who's on like Rivals of Waterdeep, the Black Dice Society, obviously Critical Role, Heroes of the Plains, Legends of the Multiverse, like anybody that's been on any of those, the stuff from Table Story. Table Story has so many excellent actual plays that are fascinating and dark and gritty and amusing and fun. But I gotta start small. Hence the unboxings. I do want to review some modules and some source books. Like I just got, I had kickstarted Heroes, the Book of Heroes, Tome of Heroes, that Kobold Press put out. I also kickstarted their upcoming Bestiary. I want to do a review of that when it comes out. I still need to read through more of Tome of Heroes. I want to go back and do some of my thoughts on the modules for 5e that have been put out. We've ran a couple of them at our table. I folded them all into one big campaign that we're about to wrap up on. And then our second campaign is going to start in Strixhaven and using the Strixhaven module. It's not going to be Strixhaven itself, but we are going to use that as the framework and then roll into Spelljammer later this year. So, like, I like using the official modules. I like using third-party stuff. I like doing that stuff, so it's going to give me an opportunity to you know, do some thoughts and reviews and stuff. Because I do want to, as much, I've invested so much time, money, energy, and love into tabletop RPGs, specifically 5th edition D&D, that I want to use some of it in content. I've talked about it not quite as much as video games and movies and stuff on this podcast, but I have talked about it plenty overall, and I want to get into that space. It just comes to mind every time one of these controversies comes up that you got to be careful who you open yourself up to, because there's a lot of bad actors in this space as well. But that's going to do it for this week. I think that's a good 45-minute-ish podcast. I have to get this posted, and then I have to start getting ready to fix the kiddos' breakfast, because it is, as I said, weekend with the kiddos. Now that I'm work from home 4 days a week, I expect I should be able to do more streaming content during the week like I used to. That's my hope, anyway. My hope is the lack of 5 days a week in the office, 5 days a week commuting, exhausting myself that way, will leave me with energy to get back to the sort of content creation I used to do. So be mindful of our social medias and our Twitch streams and stuff. I'm going to try to do more in the coming weeks now that I'm back work from home. But thank you for listening. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe, Polynerdic on all of those social medias I just mentioned. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We have a subreddit that I keep trying to use more actively, but I'm just... Reddit just really hasn't hooked me. We have polynerdic.com, where everything goes up, or most things go up. We have our YouTube, our Twitch, and as I mentioned, if you're interested in supporting us, sponsoring future content, we have a Ko-fi, a Patreon, and then via Twitch, we have subs and bits and tips and whatnot. So, thank you for listening. As always, I have been your ordinary nerdy host, Shad. I appreciate you taking 45 minutes out of your day to make me a part of it. And I will hopefully hear from you, or you'll hopefully be back next week to listen to me ramble some more. Until next time, have a good week. Embrace your loved ones. Life is fleeting and terribly short. Make sure the people that you love know you love them. And I'll see you next time.